be as dear children of God. St. Paul makes this mention of how the followers of God are to consider themselves the children of God. And so we might reflect upon that in this Lenten time and think, how are we reflecting our true Father who is in heaven? For God has brought us into the status of sons by adoption. So all of us are now his children, his dear children. And just like we have a family resemblance to our parents, we're to have a family resemblance to our Father in heaven. And so God is a God of mercy, a God who provides, a God who is good. And so we are to reflect that those qualities and characteristics of our Heavenly Father. So God is a merciful God. All of us are the recipients of his boundless mercy. It is unfathomable the way that God has pardoned us from our sins through the sure and tender mercies of Jesus Christ, who came among us to suffer and die upon the cross. And so God has shown us a great mercy. We are to be merciful now as our Father in heaven is merciful. And this is a most important thing. You know, what is the fast that God has chosen for our Lent? Certainly we are to practice bodily fasting, reduction of the quantity of food, and abstinence and so forth. But these things are ways to bring us closer to God. They are not necessarily a sacrifice as much as they are a means to come closer to God. But also we see that God would bring to us the necessity that we would be merciful as he is merciful. God has forgiven us, let us forgive others. And so in a great way we saw with the example from a couple weeks ago of King Alfred the Great, the great mercy that he showed. This is the kingdom of heaven coming into earth to bring others into the kingdom. We can also see it in a very mundane way, like how do we live out the gospel of being merciful to others? And it can be very subtle. I was at the grocery store with my wife, Chrissy, and I have a unique ability to choose the longest line in the grocery store. It doesn't matter where we go shopping, I can find the longest line. So I found it again, and there was even time for her to get some more items while I was waiting in the slow motion line. And it was kind of amusing because this woman was really taking a lot of time on the checkout counter. But as Chrissy came up, I said, now, patience, it's going to be a long time getting through there. So we kind of relaxed into it and went away from that kind of transactional attitude that we have so often put ourselves in a consumer society where the checker is kind of like a machine, part of the machine to get our stuff. And we went from the transactional to the personal. So kind of, relating to this person now. In COVID time, we have a great reduction of opportunities for social changes, so this is kind of welcome. So we chatted her up a little bit, and she needed some help distinguishing, Chrissy was helping her decide to identify the vegetables, distinguishing the greens, like, no, that's not parsley, that's cilantro, and so on. And very slowly, this woman finished her order. When she was done, everything had been rung up. She breathed a great sigh of relief and said, oh, thank you so much. You are so nice to me. It's my first day. Well, what does that take? Does that take much to give a little slack? I mean, think how God has given you slack. I mean, the very fact that we're able to come here and worship him today, God has cut you a lot of slack. And in the same way, we are to cut others. We are to give them some give. Be merciful as your Father in heaven is merciful. So we are to look like him. We are to have that same family characteristic as our Father in heaven. Be people who show forth mercy to others. So we might ask ourselves in this Lenten time, how am I living out that command to be merciful? And is there anybody that I need to forgive? Is there anybody I need to be reconciled to? That I need to show mercy. We also see that God is provider. He is the one who has given to us all that we have. God is the good God who is our loving creator. And every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights. And there's no changing in that. God is always providing for us every good and perfect gift. So just as he is giving to us, so we are to be a giving and a generous people. Now, again, how are we living that out? How are we taking of what we have and providing for the needs of others. God is a provider. How are we a provider? We are to have that same characteristic as our Heavenly Father. So how are we doing that? In our Lenten almsgiving project, we do a simple ingathering of funds to then expend on people half a world away. And for us, it's a small effort, really. We take of what God has given to us, we take a little bit off, and we share it with others that we don't even really know, but we send it on. And for them, imagine what it means. If you get a roof on your hut, basically, and now you don't have to rebuild your house, three times a year or so, it's not flooding anymore. That can lift a whole family out of poverty. And if somebody from a world away suddenly blesses you with a little lift out of poverty, wow, what an experience of grace. And so, how are we living that out? What are we thinking about? Or rather, who are we thinking about that we might be a provider for in our own families and then in our own communities? Who are we? Are we mindful of the needs of others? And how are we helping them? That is a question for us. Are we reflecting that family trait of those who are now in the family of God, God who is a provider? We also see that God is pure and holy. And this is where St. Paul gives that admonition that we too be pure and holy, that we leave off the flow of the culture of this world, which is given over to sexual licentiousness and covetousness. And it combines those two: avoid fornication and covetousness. And I've never really understood the connection between those two, but I think I can see it now. Fornication would be sex outside of marriage. It would be any kind of sexual expression that is not according to what God has designed. And God has designed our human sexuality in a beautiful way. It is that which brings one man and one woman together and binds them together in their marriage. And it is to be fruitful, that they might multiply. Procreation is part of the plan. And so, if you think about it, if that is the aim of sexuality, family life, that the husband and wife would be together and that their binding together would be fruitful, then to use the sexual organs for something else is a distraction. It's off in the wrong direction. It's not according to God's plan. And so, fornication, right? If it's not again, centered on marriage and family life, goes off in a different direction. It would be the same thing for any kind of selfish, act that would be so generally acceptable in our culture. If you think about the explosion of pornography in our generation, how many people think that's just fine? But no, it's a sexuality that is not according to the mark. It's gone off to the side, is distracted and pulled away from its true purpose. C.S. Lewis once summed up Christian sexual morality as very simple in these terms. Within marriage, which we always understand in the traditional way as one man and one woman for lifelong union, within marriage, absolute fidelity. Outside marriage, absolute chastity. That means that outside of marriage, one's sexuality is to be consecrated unto God. And there is tremendous power when a person consecrates their sexual energy to Christ. That is a chaste life, which means clean. It's pure. There is a holiness about it. It's consecrated sexuality. It's not distracted. It's focused on God and his purposes. And that is what we are called to in this life. That all of our body, in all of its goodness, as God has created it, would be consecrated to him and to his purposes. And therein we will find our freedom. The popular culture wants to say that there is, they confuse licentiousness with freedom, license with freedom. We would say no. In God's service is perfect freedom. And those who have entered into the consecrated and holy estate of matrimony, where they're keeping their vow, their singular promise to forsake all others and hold themselves only unto their spouse so long as they both shall live, they have found a place of freedom. And the same thing for those who live out a consecrated sexuality, where they have consecrated themselves to God and to holiness, they also experienced tremendous freedom. Freedom from what? Well, freedom to slavery of lust. Those who believe the lie that license is freedom, and they go off according to their own lusts to satisfy them according to their own desires, they end up a slave to their passions and imprisoned. So God has given us a way out, and the way out is obedience to God's goodness, to his commands, that we will be a holy people. I once read the account of a Benedictine monk. He'd been given himself to the life of the monastery for a couple of decades, but he had a trip back home to visit his parents. He lived in New Jersey, not too far from the Jersey shore. So he thought, well, I got some time. I'm going to go down there and see how things are going. He knew the place well. He'd been a lifeguard down there in his college years. He played rugby, lived with 8 other rugby players on the beach. He knew about the party life and about the wild times. But he said when he got there, he was kind of disappointed. He said he was expecting rebellion and, loudness and so on. But instead he saw a sad parade of youth that were jaded and exhausted and spent. He said they were hollowed out by, they were tattooed and pierced and sunburned and kind of hollowed out by that life, and they looked just tired. He said as a teacher, he could sense when one of his class was going to rebel, when they were going to do some mischief, right? He could kind of feel it, the energy of that, when they were going to step out of line and do something, naughty on purpose. He said there was none of that energy in this sad parade of people. He said he had to think that they were innocent by their ignorance of knowing anything different than the excesses of their lifestyle. And so he said, what a sad thing. We are to be different, he said, because we are to know the difference and to show the world something different. We are to shine as lights amidst a crooked and perverse generation and show them that there is something different. God is good. He has made us good. And we are to rejoice in the goodness of our creation, what God has intended for our sexuality. So, in this Lenten time, let us ask ourselves, how are we living that out? Are we being pure as our Father in heaven is pure? Are we somebody who is holy as our Father in heaven is holy? Let us pray for grace that we might enter into that spectacular freedom that is ours as children of the Heavenly Father. And so on this day, may we give humble thanks to God who has made us his children, and may we shine forth in our lives with mercy, with generosity, and with holiness, that we might show forth in our old lives who is our Father in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.